And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I swore a solemn
My family
years
was really
ago,
intense.
I was invited to a party.
Totally
and
different.
I never
come from a large Irish, Italian, Catholic family.
And at the sound of the gong, it is time for Stories from Ex-Fabula, Wednesday night on WWM. I'm Bruce Winter. Ex-Fabula co-founder Leah Delaney comes down on Wednesday nights with a basket full of stories. I shouldn't put it that way.
What do you think? I'm like skipping down the lane with my stories, like ding dong, Bruce.
With a flash drive in her hand going, I've got stories.
I guess that's kind of the way it goes. But,
but we do have stories from Ex-Fabula events of the past, and we're bringing them to the radio because we don't want them to disappear into an archive somewhere without being heard by the masses. And you guys pick out some good ones. And tonight our theme is faking it.
Holy cats. People came out of the woodwork to confess
faking it. This is a topic we all know very well.
Yes. Would you like, and I hesitate to ask you, but you're sure. Okay. Yeah, like I said, you know, sometimes this themes, when we throw a theme out to the Milwaukee, sometimes we find themes that get a little bit of response. We get some stories, but the faking it, once again, people were just like flooding us with entries of their stories and their experiences with faking it. It's like going to church, apparently, standing up with a microphone and confessing to a whole bunch of strangers.
Wow.
Yeah. We had this event back in January 2010. It was at the former Bayview Brew House. And we're going to start out tonight with a story from Marge Eisman. And she talks about getting jobs, just basically faking it to make it.
How do you think I got this job?
Do-do-do.
Oh, sure, I can do that. No problem.
Right. Here's Marge Eisman.
I am faking being a 54-year-old person who has lots of work experience. I can't tell you how many different jobs, and I've never had a job for more than a year. In fact, today is my one-year anniversary at Chase Bank, except I've only been there 8 months. But it's been an exciting opportunity to rise to a position of leadership, once again, with no background. It's actually astonishing. I have a master's in Jewish studies, and they think I'm a lawyer. I mean, everyone else is a lawyer, so I must be a lawyer. And it says I'm a lawyer on the timesheet, but I don't get paid what the lawyers get paid. But I have, I started the job last year, a year ago today, and I said to the people who hired me, the temp agency, that I would work for 2 to 3 months. And 3 weeks later, I was in the Bahamas. I got a job working on a yacht, teaching a little girl, 7-year-old little girl, whose family owned a mega yacht. she needed to learn Hebrew, and I said, well, I know Hebrew, and I know more than a second grader, so I can do this. And it was that really, really bad snowstorm last winter, you know, like Mother Nature threw this snowball at the whole mid part of the United States. And I was on the Bahamas 2 days later. That was nice. And I stayed for 3 months. Because, you know, why would you want to be in Wisconsin in winter? Most winters, it sucks here. So I came back and I called I sent an email to the boss at the bank and I said, well, what do you think? The temp job is still going. Can I come back? And he said, sure. You have to pass the drug screen and fingerprinting again. And I'm like, what do you think happened to my fingers in the Bahamas? The drug screen I got, but really? So I came back and I started working at the bank. And I made it, you know, a few weeks and then I had to leave. And then I came back a little bit longer. My father passed away. And so I was gone for about a week and a half for that. And then in the fall, my youngest son started going off to going to boarding school. Now, as you probably guessed from that knowing Hebrew thing, I'm a Jewish teacher. I have a master's in Jewish studies, so I send my kid to a Quaker boarding school. And he's not there for a week. And he turned 16 the day after we dropped him off. And I was like, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I had had it with this one. He's my youngest son. You know, it was a rough Well, the 2 weeks in a row of getting visits from the Shorewood police were really a bit much. So I'd had enough, and I was like, look, I know a really good place for you to be where lots of people will care for you, and I don't have to worry every day. You know, what will I come home to? So he goes to Quaker Boarding High School, and it's a wonderful place, and 1 week after he's there, he's in the emergency room. And 2 days later, he's in the emergency room again. Now he's spiking a fever. He's in excruciating pain. And he is, what? What is wrong? And they call me and they say, we're doing an MRI to rule out a tumor. And now I'm thinking to myself, very choice words. And there are people who actually know me here who are going to understand why I was saying so many horrible things. But basically, I just didn't need this. And so I get in the car and I drive to Iowa again. And then about 4 days later, there's the they finally have figured out he has an abscess. It's got MRSA. He's going to need an IV for 5 more weeks. And I moved to Iowa for 5 weeks. So I want to say I had my one-year anniversary today at Chase Bank. I'm very proud of my work. I've been there less than 8 months. I think this is how my life should always go. That you should show up, you should be promoted, you should be given all great honor, and never actually have to know what you're doing.
That was good.
And that was Marge Eisman from our Baby Brewhouse event back in 2010, where the theme was faking it.
This stuff does not get old. It's good.
I know.
true stories, unless they're like incredibly time-stamped, this stuff is like timeless and priceless.
It really is. And speaking of timeless and priceless, this next story actually has been talked about since 2010. It's a story by this woman, Tracy Lehrman, who had this experience with a friend that was terminally ill. And the last couple minutes, there's a huge twist on the end of it. Let's take a listen to Tracy Lehrman's Faking It story.
Precursor B-cell lymphoblastic lymphoma is a rare form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a cancer of the white blood cells. And in adults, it's most always terminal. I'd never heard of this before, knowing Sarah. Meeting Sarah for the first time was heartbreaking. At 23, she was young and full of life and just ebullient. But the first thing that you would have noticed if you met her was that she had a head free of hair and a port attached to it with surgical tape. Now, you may have dealt with the situation better than I did, but the first thing I did upon meeting her was to give her the biggest, fakest smile I could muster. And in return, she gave me a very sincere smile. And she told me that she thought we'd be great friends. And she was right. I tried to be an authentic friend to Sarah, but it was far easier just to help where I could. Now, she couldn't drive anymore because she was having seizures, so her family and her other friends and I would take her to the hospital every day for her regimen of chemo, radiation, blood transfusions, kidney dialysis. And this went on, and after many months, it became apparent that the regimen wasn't working. And in fact, the cancer was spreading rapidly. So Sarah was faced with a choice, whether to go into hospice and die, or whether to try an experimental new treatment that was still in trial, which could have potentially killed her, and after which she wasn't assured survival anyway. So Sarah and I met, and we had a few drinks, and we talked, and we played darts. And still having not made her decision, Sarah picked up her dart and said, if this lands on black, I'll choose hospice and accept my death. But if it lands on white, I'll choose this experimental treatment. She lifted up her dart, threw it, and it landed on black. There was a big sigh, and she turned to me and asked if she could try for 2 out of 3. And I gave her the first real thing I ever said to her. I said, I don't know. Well, Sarah didn't qualify for the experimental treatment, but miraculously, something changed in her cancer. It stopped growing, and in fact, it started receding, and in fact, some of the tumors began to disappear. So Sarah was kept alive on a regimen of chemo, radiation, and a host of other drugs she was taking. And she did not stop inspiring everyone who met her, this remarkable girl with this amazing dynamic energy and this grace about her. People mobilized around her. We held benefits. We ran marathons. We made and sold Team Sarah t-shirts, all to help with the high cost of her treatment. When her health was good, we took her to places on trips, to places she'd always wanted to visit and never could. This went on for a year, and she lived, until finally she got the news that she and all of us had been waiting for. She was finally accepted to receive a bone marrow transplant at Mass General Hospital in Boston. We were ecstatic. Her family immediately flew there to be with her throughout the ordeal. And we waited here for word on what was going on, for a status, for something. But there was nothing. For 3 days, nothing. And on the fourth day, in my email inbox was a message from her dad, subject Sarah. It read, "Dear friends and family, I am writing to you from Boston, Massachusetts, where we currently reside. There will be no bone marrow transplant for Sarah because she does not have cancer. For the past 2.5 years, Sarah has been perpetuating this deception of her own free will. She is full of remorse and begins psychiatric care tomorrow. If you can find it in your heart to forgive her, please pray that she will be healed. Sarah is currently being treated for Munchausen syndrome, a disorder in which someone feigns illness to solicit attention or sympathy. And there are those people who know Sarah who believe that she's faking this also. Thank you for listening."
Oh, God. Her friend, this woman that she befriended for years, she comes to find out that this woman had Munchausen's disease. She wasn't even ill. So she was faking it. She was lying to this woman for years. And the way that she found out about it was from her family member who finally reached out to her.
Oh, my God.
People in the audience just gasped.
Wow.
Again, it was a gut-wrencher.
Jeez. Okay. All right. Well,
okay.
Man.
And that was Tracy Lehrman's story from our Faking It event.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Oh, man. Yeah. That one just pokes at you. Holy man.
It really does. But those are the stories. I mean, those real, true stories are just...
When we talk about real people telling real stories at Ex Fabula events and here on the radio now, too, that's what we're talking about right here. That is just, you know, you can't make stuff up like that. I use the word stuff instead of the word I would usually use, but it's just, it's amazing. It's powerful. It's totally Milwaukee, too, a lot of times. And
it's what gets people back in their seats.
I'm telling you.
You know?
We do this every Wednesday night. If you want to spread the word, at WWM 89.7, WWM at night, Wednesday nights, 9 o'clock. We're here with Ex-Fabulous Stories with co-founder Leah Delaney. Yay.
Yay. Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thanks for coming in again. We'll see you next week.
Okie doke.